Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to this series, The River is Here. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
He spoke to me this morning in my quiet time, and he spoke through Habakkuk 1, where the prophet Habakkuk prophesied, and he said, "Look, you scoffers, behold and see, I am doing a work in your day which you would not believe though somebody told you of it." It's a principle of the working of God that he wants to do things that have never been seen before, but the church is so bound by the past that anything that doesn't look like something that's gone before we reject as not being of God. And God says, no more will I allow people to restrict me. I will be God, and I will demonstrate my power in ways that you cannot conceive of. I am God, and I will not allow man to restrict me any longer. I will make bare my mighty arm of power. Lord, we don't want to be scoffers. We don't want to be unbelievers. We don't want to be incredulous. We want to be simple children who are just so happy for our daddy to move that you have freedom to do whatever you want to do with nobody limiting you, with nobody trying to dictate to you or control you, but allowing you to do whatever you please. Now, the Lord wants to touch people tonight in a way that you've never been touched before. He just wants to touch people in ways that you have never been touched before. Just yield to the Spirit right now. Just yield to Him. He is such a gracious and a kind Father that if you ask Him for bread, He will not give you a stone. So what you receive from Him, you know, is good. You can be absolutely sure that the devil will not give you a good gift. He doesn't have it within him. And so you don't have to sit in fear here and distrust and skepticism. You can open up, open your mouth wide, says God, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide. And I will fill it. Open your mouth wide. And I will fill it. Open your mouth wide. 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 And I will fill it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Joy. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Hey, 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 hey. More, Lord. More. 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 In His presence, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. If you're full of joy, what happens? It overflows. Filled. More, Lord. We came to church. We laughed uncontrollably. And we were changed. Don't look at her, have a drink yourself. Don't look at her, you have your own drink. Saturated. God wants his people saturated. God wants his people saturated. He's only happy when you're accused of being drunk with new wine. That's his order for church. We're too much in control. Welcome to Joel's place. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Belly up to the bar. For the new wine of the Holy Ghost. More, Lord, more, 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 more. Lift your hands. The Lord's wanting to touch you. Now, I'm not saying be quiet when I'm saying shh. I don't want to quench the spirit. Lord, touch them, touch them, touch them. More, 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 more. More, Lord, more, 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 Lord, more, more. Increase the anointing. Increase the anointing. Increase the anointing. People are still spectating, Lord. Get them. Folks can go and sit down if you can. Have a drink as you walk, sister. God is demonstrating His nature and His character. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, Father, I want that those whom You have given Me should be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. And He wasn't talking about death. He wasn't talking us about God taking us to heaven. He was praying for God to make a spiritual way possible for us as mere human beings to be so indwelt and possessed by the Spirit of God that we could live in a realm where the glories of heaven become the natural state that we live in rather than living in this earthly realm. And this is what is happening. The Spirit is taking us out of mind control, which is how we've learned to live our lives. We've learned to live by our minds instead of by our spirit man. And so God is answering the prayer of His Son Jesus, because we cannot behold the glory like we are. We're so full of doubt and unbelief that when we behold the glory of the Lord, we won't believe it. And we'll say it isn't the glory of the Lord. Like some people have gone to Toronto and come away and said, that isn't God, it's flesh. People don't even understand what the glory of the Lord looks like. The Spirit has come to make it possible for us to see and behold the glories of heaven, which are the most natural thing for us as regenerate people who are born of the Spirit of God, who have the nature and character of our Father. And if we go into a second week, next week, I'm going to show you that the biblical definition of maturity is not having a bunch of head knowledge, but having your senses liberated from being so earthbound that you can discern good and evil. This is what He said, strong meat is for the mature. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We can discern the spiritual realm. That's spiritual maturity. And and we thought spiritual maturity was knowing all the books of the Bible and having a bunch of head knowledge. We're so messed up. And God's trying to liberate us from the bondage of our minds to get to that realm where the Spirit can take us into the heavenlies and we can behold the glories of God without trying to figure everything out. Yeah, I'm supposed to change my message for tonight. The Lord wants me to preach on that. Turn to John 17. John 17. You're going to understand the joy after we're through tonight. You're going to understand why the laughter is being poured out on His church at this time. Verse 24 of John chapter 17. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. I said earlier, it's not that Jesus wanted the Father to take them out of the earth, because He specifically prays in verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So He's not asking the Father to kill us and take us to heaven so that we can see His glory in heaven. He's asking the Father to do such a radical work in us that we can begin to dwell in the realm of the Spirit in such a way that we can see all the glories of heaven that the Father has given to Jesus. And if He's given it to Jesus, He's given it to us. Because Jesus said, everything that I've received from the Father, I give to you. See, there's a realm of glory, people. Please hear me. There's a realm of glory that we've only just touched, but we've just limited God because our finite minds have so limited God in what He can do. And God said, there's just so much more. He says so much more. We're going to see miracles that you have no ability to conceive of right now. Jesus made a promise to His disciples. Because of the coming of the Spirit, we would see greater miracles than Jesus ever did. He did some mighty powerful stuff. But I'm telling you, child of God, the church is getting ready to see the greatest manifestation of the glory of God that this world has ever seen. Because the Word of God says, as I live, says the Lord, you can count this down as real as I am. You can write this on the calendar. All of the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. If God made that statement, people, it is going to take place. All of the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is some glory. The Apostle Paul was caught up into heaven where he beheld such glories that he said, I don't have permission to even talk about it. That's a bunch of glory. But he said in 2 Corinthians 3, before he made that statement in 2 Corinthians 12, he said in 2 Corinthians 3, he said there is a glory that is coming to the church, the glory of the new covenant that is going to make the glory of Moses look like no glory at all by comparison to the glory. And Paul said, we haven't seen it yet, because he says, therefore, having this hope. And Paul taught in Romans chapter 8 that you only hope for that which you do not yet see. So Paul says, I know there's a glory coming to the church that I haven't yet seen. And I've seen a bunch. I've been up in heaven. I've been caught up into heaven. I've seen the glory. But we haven't seen it yet. There's a glory that makes the glory of Mount Sinai and Moses' face glowing seem like no glory at all. There's a glory that is going to be manifested in the people of God that is going to make Moses look like nothing at all. We've got to believe that, people. We've got to lay hold of that and see that as the prize. Jesus prayed it. He said, God, I want those whom you have given me to be with me where I am in the realm of the glory that you gave me before the foundation of the earth, because you loved me before the foundation of the earth. It's the glory that the Father in His love has bestowed on the Son, and it's the glory that the Son in His love for His church wants to bestow upon His bride. I'm telling you, people, there's a glory for the church that we haven't yet begun to see. We're starting to see it. I really believe we're starting to see it. When I went down to Lakeland, Florida in March of 1993, for the first time, I believed that Jesus' prayer in John 17 could be fulfilled. Up to then, I really had my doubts, because every attempt at unity in the body of Christ was always compromise. But then I saw people lying in that big carpenter's home church, lying under the power of God, Catholic nuns, next to Pentecostals, next to Baptists, next to Methodists, next to whatever and whatever, and nobody cared about anybody's doctrine. What they were all hungry for was a touch of God. They didn't care what the label was on the church that you go to. They were united by one thing, and that was a hunger for the Spirit of God to touch them. And when I saw that, I got so excited. Shoo, I'm telling you, the anointing is so strong in this place tonight. When I saw that, I said, God, now I understand that it can be done. When I was in Dothan at the beginning of last year, there was a man who just knew how to yield to the Spirit. And he had a vision in two stages. It happened while I was preaching. He'd be on the floor under the power of God. And he saw this vision in two stages. And I'm not going into all of the vision. I've got it all written down at home. But in the second part of the vision that he saw in the second night of the vision, he saw the water of life flowing down from the temple. Now hear me. When it flowed down into the city, and he saw it as the city of Dothan in Alabama, he saw the waters flowing down in the city, and he said, you know what? The water didn't devastate the city. It didn't smash down the walls. Listen to this. It just rose higher than every separating wall until the walls of division were obliterated. See, some people have said when God's going to come and He's just going to break down all the denominational walls. I want you to understand, He doesn't care about denominational walls. I'm serious about that. He said, some of you are going to call yourself by the name of Israel. Some of you, this is in Isaiah, you can read this. Some of you will call yourselves by the name of the Lord your God, and some of you will call yourselves by other name. It doesn't really matter to God what you call yourself. You see, His Spirit is much bigger than all the walls of division. And He's about to pour out His Spirit in such a way that we're not going to be fussing and fighting with each other. I'm telling you, it's happened in the city of Muleshoe. Some of you might have been watching television this afternoon on Primetime Praise, and you saw the pastor from the church in Muleshoe. He was on Primetime Praise in Midland, Odessa, sharing about what the Lord has done there and what God has done in that city. Last Sunday night, or Sunday before this past one, the churches in Muleshoe got together and had a combined praise time. And there was another church that cooperated in the meeting. The pastor told me a few weeks ago, he says, my church has grown 50%, and he wasn't even the one who was having the meeting. I'm telling you, the Spirit is just going to rise higher than all the walls of division until we don't bother about the walls of division anymore. There's a glory coming to the church, and we've tried to engineer it and manufacture it, and God says, man, forget it. You can't do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to answer my son's prayer, and I'm going to bring it about. And we've thumped on people and said, you've got to become one. There's got to be unity and so on. We can't produce unity. It's the unity of the Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can do it. Now let me show you. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Verse 25. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit has come. He's saturated all of them. They're all under the power of the Holy Ghost, and Peter is preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit, and this sermon is absolutely loaded with revelation concerning the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and the glories and everything else, interpreting what happened on the day of Pentecost, and we never understood it. And so here we are saying, where does this laughter come from? Why are people laughing? Man, you're going to find out this evening. Verse 25. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. This is a messianic prophecy concerning Jesus. And so Jesus is speaking in the first person. I foresaw the Lord. In other words, Jesus kept the Father always before his face. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Well, what do you do when your tongue is glad? Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. And here he's talking about his death, that when he died, he would rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Now that's after the resurrection. He has said, God's not going to leave my soul in hell. And then he said, you will show me the path of life. And then listen, you will make me full of joy in your presence. What Psalm 16 actually says is, in your presence is fullness of joy. So Jesus was anticipating the Father raising him back to that place at his right hand, and there filling him with joy. Now, you better stay with me, because this is absolutely biblical. Turn, just keep your finger in Acts 2, and turn to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. Psalm 45, verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Incidentally, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible titles this psalm, The Glories of the Messiah and His Bride. Pretty good. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Now look at this. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Now this is a prophecy concerning the Messiah. This is a promise about Jesus, the Messiah, Because he has loved righteousness. In other words, he's done what is the right thing. He's done the Father's will. Because he's loved righteousness, therefore God has given him and anointed him with the oil of joy above his fellows. Now when he came to the earth, he received the anointing to minister to us the oil of joy. But when he got to heaven, the Father was so pleased at what the Son had done that he said, Jesus, come up here, I've got a special gift for you. See, Psalm 16 says, you will make me to know joy in your presence. And listen to what Hebrews 12 says. Why did Jesus endure the cross and despise the shame? Because of the joy that was set before him. You see, he had been in the presence of the Father, and he had tasted the glories of heaven, and he knew that if he fulfilled the calling on earth, he was going to be restored back to the glories of heaven. You need to understand that the essence of the glories of heaven is a manifestation of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. We're just having a touch of heaven. Say, Brother John, isn't the laughter bothering you? Not at all. What's bothering me is that there are a bunch of you who aren't laughing.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the series, The River is Here, with John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this or other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-800-225-0245. God bless you, and thank you for listening.